I want to modify the order of sermon this morning. The traditional order is reading the gospel or other scripture followed by sermon. And what I'd like to do today is do part one of the sermon and then the gospel reading and then continue. And the reason I want to do this is I want to alert you to some aspects of the reading. I want to raise 3 points. The first is what Jesus does when he makes a teaching moment. A second into a little bit of insight into how a scheming person works. And then the third point. And so first of all, what is a teaching moment? Obviously, an educator can talk about this better than I. But teaching moments are used for education, a change of a person's thought pattern. That means a change of a modification of a person's thought constructs, change of attitude, and a change of heart. Since even one of these changes may not occur when someone just hears a story or a lecture, then Jesus used stories, and stories are easier to remember. It's certainly easier to remember than abstract thoughts. We remember movies, we remember plays, TV shows, we remember novels and short stories, but we cannot easily remember lectures or even remember lectures at all a year later. Everyone here, I'm pretty sure, would remember the story of the tortoise and the hare, that very, very fast rabbit and the slow, steady moving turtle. And you know the moral of that story. But I would venture to say that there may be only one or two people in here who clearly remember the periodic table of elements. Stories are easy to recall. They're easy for us to get to remember and to get the morals of. The second thing I want to bring up is this. What does it mean to be a scheming person? We like characters in movies when they are scheming and calculating. Steve Martin, one of my favorite characters, played a calculating con man with another con man in the movie Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. If you haven't seen it, it is just hilarious. His plan was to bilk an heiress out of her fortune, only to find out that she was more conniving than he was. Ocean's 11 is another movie full of wily people. George Clooney assembles a group of an additional 10 people, and with his accomplices, they try to rob some Las Vegas casinos. And there are so many stories that we have in movies and plays and novels of con men who plan to bilk and rob and steal diamonds, money, and paintings. What are some of the traits of these scheming or shrewd people? If we take a look at Steve Martin's character, Freddie, first his ambition totally consumes him. Every thought that occupies his mind was only on one objective. Every interest he had a target. Freddie was totally involved in only one purpose. Every dream and desire that he had was to obtain the fortunes of rich women. So in the gospel today, we learn how the manager of an estate was shrewd in protecting himself financially. I don't believe the word shrewd is negative. Conniving is, shrewd is not. And I think that Jesus used the word shrewd in a very positive context in the story. The third point is that in this story, Jesus distinguishes between the children of light and the children of this age. That is, people who live with faith in God and hope in God versus people who live only for what is in this world and no more. There's one more piece. In this translation, the one we have in the Pew Bibles, is I think there's a bit of sarcasm in one line. See if you can pick it up. So I invite you to follow along in the Pew Bibles. It's page 953 toward the end of the Bibles. Again, 953. It's Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 1, which some editor labeled the parable of the dishonest manager. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So, summoning his master's debtor, one by one, he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil." He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat." He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. Jesus continued, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes." Jesus continued, "Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." So ends the reading. So there you have it, a most interesting story. The manager had been taking advantage of his position. Does embezzlement sound right to you? So the rich man rightly requires an audit. His intent is to fire the manager, and probably when he finds out the true aspect of the audit, put him in jail. I love the picture painted of the manager by the manager himself. He describes himself as a man without muscle. He says, "I'm not strong enough to labor." And he knows his character, for he says, "I'm too proud to beg." So what does he do? He starts to scheme. His ambition to stay off the streets totally consumes him. Every thought that the manager has for self-financial preservation occupies his mind. He has only one objective: stay off the streets. His only interest: come out on top. His purpose, his dream, his sole objective is to have friends who will take care of him once he is fired. And what has the scheming person been doing for years? Fraud. What does he know best? Fraud. He knows how to appropriate funds. Therefore, he is, according to Jesus, conniving enough to misuse his fiduciary position. Without a job, he'll be on the street. So the manager wants to ensure that he has friends who will owe him in the future. So you heard the story told by Jesus. The manager drastically lowers the amount of money that each person owes to his master. The result is that all these people become indebted to the manager. Then comes the surprise in Jesus' story. The master praised his own crooked manager. Why? Because the master saw how devious the manager was, because he knew how to look after himself and get what he wanted. Jesus then pointed out in his teaching moment that streetwise people are often smarter than law-abiding citizens. Streetwise people are on the constant alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits, conniving in how they approach life. I believe that Jesus told the story because he wants us to be as sharp as that manager was, but not in the same illegal way. We are to be as quick, but not for what is wrong, but for what is right. We are to use every tool for creative survival, both for ourselves and for our salvation. Jesus is telling us to concentrate our attention on what is essential in life, to use our common sense, and to bring that common sense into the church and into the gospel, to bring our worldly lives into the church, to use the good news of the gospel to further God's will. I think that what Jesus was addressing in this story was people who are complacent. And Jesus was comparing people of this age to the gospel, people of the gospel. Because what Jesus wants is for the gospel to take over our personality, just as the shrewd manager's personality was taken over by him not wanting to be on the street. Jesus wants the gospel to occupy our every thought, just as the scheming manager's thoughts were occupied. Jesus wants us to be involved in gospel, just as the conniving manager was involved in his financial affairs. Jesus wants us to show thought to the gospel, just as the devious manager was forming his plan. Where do I think that there was a bit of sarcasm? In this translation, when Jesus turned, and I can easily see Jesus nod and wink and smile when he says to his listeners, "I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal home." Jesus was mocking those who obtain wealth by dishonest means and make friends with money as their sole source, because let those friends bring you into heaven. The irony is simple. There's an irony in the story, and there's an irony in that statement. What Jesus is saying is, God our Father will not accept dishonest wealth, and therefore live honestly. Only God has the power to welcome you into the eternal home. What do I think that Jesus wanted his listeners then and now to remember and conclude from this story? Well, you listen to this story, and most importantly, you can make your own conclusions. But these are some of mine. We are to work in God's kingdom just as the conniving do in the world. We are to be as scheming in all that we do as the manager in that story was, for we are to use our common sense to further God's kingdom, both on earth as it is in heaven, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. We are not to be complacent. We are to be candid with God, candid with ourselves, and candid with our neighbor, just as the manager was candid with those he was trying to scheme with. Why do I think that Jesus told this story? I think he did so because he was trying to shake up the people that were in front of him, shake up their nonchalance, their indifference, and their lack of concern. I think Jesus was crying out for his followers to have passionate interest, ardent awareness of God, and fervent immersion into God's kingdom, the same ardent awareness that the shrewd people have as to what's going on in this world. In short, Jesus is asking us to take care of business, just as the shrewd manager took care of business, but to do so honestly. Then Jesus, just to make sure that it was clear that people would understand his story, this ironic story, Jesus continued. Jesus did not want us to miss the point. He concluded by giving us some maxims. If we are honest in small things, we'll be honest in big things. If we're crook in small things, we're going to be in crook in big things. And Jesus said that no worker can serve two bosses equally. He will either dislike the first and love the second, or adore the first and despise the second. And Jesus concluded by saying that you cannot serve both God and money. Not that you cannot have both God and money, but you cannot be dedicated to both God and money. And that was the problem with the manager in the gospel story. The manager was squandering the rich man's money. So Jesus' first point is clear. Either you owe your allegiance to the master, or you're being consumed by money. And Jesus' second point is also clear. Be as shrewd as the manager was, but not for money, not for wealth which will pass away, but to serve God here, now, and serve your neighbor. And to do so with a great deal of common sense and with all the shrewdness that you can muster. We are not to be complacent people as God's people. We are to be wise people as God's people. That was the message of Jesus' story. Let's take a moment before we